listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 15th, the Ides of March. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, and thanks to those joining us live. We appreciate your contributions. I know I look forward to seeing you every week, and just so thankful that we get to get together like this. And thanks to those that listen to the archives. We really appreciate you taking the time. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, I'm really looking forward to tonight's topic, but before we get into that, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, I'm really looking forward to this chat. I think we just kind of came to it based on a true story, but I think that, you had an interesting start to this discussion.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about how to hold your cool.
Exactly.
Today.
How are we going to maintain mindfulness and peace in this crazy, crazy world?
Well, today it's Wednesday. My daughter's at work, and when I'm not working, I will go and have lunch with her at the art center where she works. And I usually stop in and get some A&W, and so I'm going, you know, driving up to the drive-thru, which is, I'm going the proper way. Now, there is a shortcut through the parking lot, but it always jams up, and that's, everybody who goes there knows that's not the place to go. But, okay, there's 2 vehicles getting cut in. I said, all right, now let the first one go. So I'm waiting, okay, now it's my turn. Because, you know, take turns going in, even though you're all the wrong way. And as I started to drive up, this woman, like 0 to 10 in a heartbeat, because I shook my head at her, no, I'll go. And she went ballistic, and she's screaming so loud, even though her windows are up. I'm lip reading. What, and she's calling me names, threatening to get out of her vehicle. She, if I move forward anymore, she's going to get out of her car and she's going to tear a strip off me, all this stuff. And I just sat there and looked at her. I mean, I didn't respond. She got madder, angrier. Like, now she's really all ripped up. Now I noticed that. There's skulls on her car. She's got this ball cap on, you know, big girl. She's like, and I went, okay, I'm an old lady. I don't have a hope here anyway. So, but I was kind of in this state of what the, you know.
Really?
Are you kidding me? And I'm looking at her and I have this puzzled look on my face. And I just watch her and she doesn't stop. Now she's up putting in her order. and I can see her through her side view mirror trying to stare me down. And she even rolled down her window and starts looking back at me, and I had the same expression on my face, looking at her with, you know, straight ahead. I did not say a word. She gets her order. I'm behind her. She's still looking out her window. Now, in this case, this is clearly somebody who's had a bad day. And this is clearly somebody who's looking for a fight.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that she couldn't get a rise out of you just made her angrier and angrier. Because that's all she wanted was to get a rise out of you.
That's all she wanted. And I realized in that moment, you know, whether you respond or not is almost futile. It's like, but I know who I am. And that's the only thing I'm going to hang on to in this moment is you're nuts. I'm not. So I'm just going to stop what I'm doing. I was telling my daughter this at lunchtime. And, you know, it was so interesting. She says anytime she pulls out of the art center and the way the roads are, she has to wait for a moment of traffic, but you have to cut across so she can get in the lane to turn. And she said all these, very often these trucks honk their horns at her. And she says, you know, I really want to get out of my car, stop the car, get out and say, oh, are you okay? Do you need help? Do you want me to call 911 for you? Are you sure you're okay? Like, really? You know, do you need a doctor? But we were talking about how we have noticed this post-COVID era. And I don't know if it matters where you live. I know you had something to say about, you know, an experiment that some folks did, Michael. You can get to that in a second. But we have noticed here that people are more aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. It's like... Yesterday, I wanted to slip out. I've been doing some stuff around home this week. So I wanted to slip out, get a few groceries. And I went, oh, it's so dangerous out here. I'm getting a few groceries. I'm going to manage the crowd, and I'm going home. It's not a full moon. It's nothing. But whether it's over a parking space, you know, people on bikes weaving in and out of traffic, it's like, this takes defensive driving to a whole new level. Let alone, you know, when you're going down the aisle in the shopping center, it's, oh yeah, I think I'll just back up and go another way.
I'm telling you, pretty soon we're all going to be driving Mad Max cars and, you know, fighting each other on the streets.
Well, and seriously, yesterday when I was trying to get by, this woman is blocking because there's all these things set up in the aisle, and this woman is blocking. And I thought, I'm going to be really patient here because I'm in no hurry. Whenever I go into a grocery store, I say, you're not in a hurry. So, you know, I'm just waiting. And she's looking at me, taking her time. And so finally she moves her cart, and I said, oh, thank you very much. And, of course, I proceeded. Now I see her two aisles over. And she still just kind of looks at me, and I thought, what did I do? It's like she wants everything to herself while she is shopping, you know, and it's that kind of privilege, entitlement, get away from me kind of thing. Excuse me, you're not the only one shopping here. But it's like that kind of energy, and I really make a conscious effort that I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to take my time. And I feel like sometimes I'm outside of my body, Michael, and I'm observing the show. Wendy just said in the chat, she said, it's the same here, Dr. Vicky, and working in retail. She said it's like people have lost it. And I got to say, it's a fascinating time, and it's not improving with time. It just... something is going on, and I couldn't really tell you if it's cultural, you know, if it's something in the air, something in the water, the food. I'm not sure. Zach says, his husband Alex says that's why he makes it a point not to wear deodorant when he goes shopping. He says instantly has the built-in space. That's funny.
That's very clever.
Funny, Zach. But no, and it's true, and that there are there's just something going on out there, and it's so important just to remain calm and be yourself. Now, I know there's going to be situations where you need to respond in some way, but hopefully you're in the position of authority and power and not them. But it's take the high road, folks. The first line of defense is to walk away.
Very true. And crazy. It is. And there's just, you know, another thing we were talking about before the broadcast is so often all we can do is focus on what we can control. We can't control other people. And, you know, of course, our actions will influence others. And, you know, when these aggressive situations, absolutely, I couldn't agree more. You have to disengage. But, you know, there are times where people won't let you, and you always have to stick up for your own rights and your own boundaries. But there are ways to de-escalate, and there are ways to avoid it entirely. But, you know, you're right. I know, I think it's a lot of pent-up anger for a lot of reasons, and obviously it differs from person to person, but just the conditions. You know, we went through a tough time with the pandemic, and there was a lot of anger because of, you know, it further polarized the sides in a lot of ways in the culture wars of society. And it led to a lot of anger, and, you know, you kind of picked a camp a lot of times. You know, me, you know, I don't like having a camp. I like, you know, being able to pick and choose what I think is reasonable in life, except for this camp, this, you know, community of curious people investigating metaphysics and awareness. But, you know, there's just this built up anger, and it's increasingly common, I think, for people to look for confrontation. I think, I don't know, I have no scientific basis for this, but in social media, you have a lot more anonymity, and it is almost conducive to, you know, arguing and bickering, and, you know.
Well, I wonder if that isn't contributing.
Exactly.
You know, when there was, you know, a whole year of shutdown, year and a half, people at home, online stuff, and they carry that on.
Yeah.
And there's no consequence. I know we've talked about that in previous programs, but, I mean, there is something to be said. Wendy's brought up a good point.
Mm-hmm.
She said PTSD from COVID. And
well,
perhaps, so
she,
if
she also says, I don't know about that.
Well,
so, I mean, what I would say is this. I'd say that everything that we're dealing with, you know, it's not like these problems came from nowhere, these fissures. I mean, they're in, you know, much of the Western world. There were cultural, you know, upheaval in the 60s, 70s. There were issues that we dealt with. So they'd kind of quieted down, but the stress of this event kind of just led these existing fissures to widen and to, you know, become more problematic. And I think that it's become increasingly tribal and an us versus them mentality. And I think that that is only a portion of it, and that just kind of goes to, you know, the overall mix. You know, this woman could have just been having a horrible day. You know, we don't know. Or she could just be a nasty person. It's hard to say. You don't know what's going on in their mind. And
well, Teresa's mentioned something in the chat, a younger generation of entitlement. Well, I would agree with that, Teresa, if this woman was younger. But she's probably about 50 years old. You know?
Yeah.
So that's not a contribution there.
You know, don't throw, you know, millennials and Gen Z, well, Gen Z are kind of irritating, I'm not going to lie. Don't throw millennials at least under the bus. I mean, come on. Boomers are kind of entitled to a degree. No offense to those present. But I will say, well, it's, and that's another thing that brings anger. You know, it's tough out there, especially, you know, buying a home. It is very, very difficult to live, you know, and especially when you hear some people that will say, oh, I bought a home when I was, you know, 20 years old, already had a family and things like that. Well, it's a very different world, you know. Oh, I paid myself through school to go, oh, I paid for myself to go through school by working a job at like a wet restaurant or something. You just can't do that anymore for an academic education, things like that. So, you know, there are a lot of people that are frustrated over these very real things. It's not just manufactured, you know, culture war stuff. It's also very real, you know, frustrations that people are going through. And
sorry, Michael. The only thing I would like to inject here is that for probably 50 years, society hasn't had to fight for anything. And you mentioned about the civil rights movement and, you know, previous, you know, shocks in our culture. There's several generations now that haven't had to, it's like, oh, everybody has a microwave. What do you mean you don't have a cell phone? And they haven't had to work for it. Like, this is their reality. I mean, when I say I started out in a teletype machine, they don't even know what that is, you know, or a crank phone. Ooh, you know, because they didn't see an evolution except every year get a new phone.
Yeah.
So I think that there's something to be said for, you know, there hasn't, there's a lot of folks, you know, under 40, under 50 that haven't had to socially move forward in something to get their rights. Yeah. And what I mean by, you know, there's my high school's having its 50th reunion coming up, and what I remember is in 1973, a man still had all the credit. Even if they were married and get a divorce, the man takes the credit. Women didn't have the right to have their own credit rating until many years later. So, again, that's just one example of how we socially changed. I had my first daughter in 1979, and it was like in 1978, 77, that if you had a child out of wedlock, which is what I did, then that child would automatically be taken from you by the state.
Yeah, that's
so this is what I mean by we've had a lot of things just given to us without having to assert for it or put in the effort for it. Mm-hmm. You know, people are trying to grow gardens again, you know, and they're trying to find ways to come back to, you know, that very kind of rustic, you know, because they have to, because you can't go to the store now without spending $100
exactly
for like two small bags of groceries.
That's something, but, something Wendy pointed out, and that's actually what I was going to also come to earlier, is that the fact that people are, you know, it's an odd mix. People are, wages are growing up, people are employed, but inflation's going up higher, and it's just making everything a bit, you know, squeezing. And so all that frustration is just kind of building.
So, but my point is, I've seen this before in my lifetime. Yeah. Yes, I'm the first one to complain about prices. I have seen this kind of thing before. So we know, and you're in the older generation, you know that this too will level out and pass. It's just another part of the cycle. But we also knew we had to work for things, and there's just a system at play. Younger people, again, under 40 or 50, don't understand that concept because there's been a lot of good things. It's been a real great gravy train. Now, I'm not saying people haven't suffered. That's
true.
I'm saying.
No, but you're absolutely
so
right.
So now they're getting hit with a reality. This is a big... So 2008 was a bit of a reality check for a lot of people. This is a different bug altogether. So the reaction to it is really blatant, bold anger compiled with, you know, a couple of years of getting away with stuff on social media. And I think it's just kind of, you know, amplified, and it's out of control. And people have to check in with themselves, because so, you know, we can talk about, you know, why and how and, you know, socially trying to explain it, but it still doesn't excuse it, because there is a loss of humanity here big time.
Exactly. And I think you're absolutely right. And that's one thing that I was, you know, also thinking about, is that, yeah, you know, prices are higher. All these things are higher. But at the same time, it's also never been better to be a human being. Yes, we hear a lot about mass shootings. Yes, we had the pandemic, but by and large, people live longer. People die far less often. The fact that since antibiotics, since modern medicine, it has been an entirely different world. Prior to this, people dying was very common. It was just a part of life. And being around the dead, meaning you had the body in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, these are just things that we do not deal with anymore. And
yeah, but you know, again, Michael, I was alive and watching when they did the first heart transplant, and it was a huge, big thing. Now people are saying, what do you mean I can't get a heart? I need a heart transplant. Where's my heart? I need it. What do you mean? I'm lobbying. I put it out there. I need a kidney transplant. Why won't you give me a kidney? And I'm going, whoa, this is like, there's no, like, they think that it's always been this way. And why can't I have it?
Right.
That's what I have to inject here.
Well, and you
it
know,
is a better world. It is. But the attitudes that come with that in it being a better world, and this is where I think what I love about what you're saying is there's no gratitude.
Well, that's very true, but it's also a matter of relativity in that, you know, except for, you know, those of us who remember past lives, wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of thing, but it is just something you have not experienced yourself. What's that term? Is it qualia that I'm thinking of? The idea that there are some things you can know about, but you can't really understand it until you go through it.
Yeah.
And I would also say that, we can't disregard, the frustrations and pain people are going through, but we can try to make it easier. But, the 70s, the 60s, they had bombings all over the United States, at least. I don't know about Canada or other places, but there were a lot of the same things we're going through now. And I do know that it's common for us to feel like the times we're living are the most interesting or the most important. And I do think that we are at a type of precipice, and I think this is an important time, but every time is. Every generation, group of generations, build the world continually. Kayla had said earlier that we stand on the shoulders of giants, but have no idea who the giants were, and that's true, but the giants also stood on the shoulder of giants. One thing that just gives me perspective on that is, looking back, archaeologists have found essentially what are museums in ancient places. Elam, there was a people called the Elamites prior to the Persians and the Medes in what is now Iran. They found a museum with artifacts from, this is 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And they were digging up artifacts from 3,000 years prior. Mm-hmm. And they also had things from other cities, trophies also, things they brought back from Babylon, what have you. But the idea being that we did not just come out of nowhere. It wasn't just the previous 100 years that mattered. We have all been continuing this process of trying to evolve humanity in multiple ways. And I think it's using that heightened awareness that we as metaphysicians strive for that would allow to navigate this chaos, allow us to navigate this. Like you said earlier, you didn't engage. And that takes a higher level of awareness and emotional maturity than some people currently have.
Well, I think that this is – I think it could be fear too, Michael. But – honestly, for me, it was more being the observer, and I've tried to nail it what it is that I've been doing, and it's just watching. I'm just observing, and it's not that I'm not participating in life, because I am, but I'm also, I think, maybe it is maturity at that level where I'm just watching the show.
Yeah,
I'm playing my part, but I'm just watching the show. And this is really crazy, people. And the only one you have to answer to is yourself. And however you're going to do that, it's like, that's on you. Because I do believe, this is just, again, I preface and qualify this. My reality is we live many lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is that you're going through and you're being a jerk, your life's going to end, and you're going to carry that forward. And you might be on the opposite side of where you were. You might be the oppressed instead of the oppressor. And so I can, in some sense, step back and, kind of observe this. And, Dr. Mike just wrote in the chat, there's fundamentally no consequences for their actions for a large portion of the population. And I absolutely concur with that. I think the consequence is going to come in layers whether they're aware, people are aware of that or not. The consequence of you bought that expensive house and the, you know, the bank rates change, you have to remortgage, lose your house, so you get a divorce, you can't, you know, you lose everything, and then, but, you know, you're angry, and, but you're living out of a suitcase, you know. But then there's this other longer term consequence of those children in this passive parenting that you're raising up are going to have control over you and whether or not you go into an old folks home. And where are you going to live when you have no place to live? Because those kids you raised don't want anything to do with you because they're just mad because they didn't get their new iPhone when they were in grade six.
I'm looking forward to the old folks home. Come on, they, you know, do all the cleaning, cook for you, get a TV, give me a, give me an Xbox, a computer in there and a couple books, and I need some dogs. Not going to lie.
Who pays for it? So again, it's that that money thing about you're thinking that you're going to have a good quality of care, Michael, and that may not be.
I'll keep a cattle prod around for any of the staff that want to mess with me.
So it's that Mike says a lot of people should be grateful that I'm not in charge. And you know, Mike, I'm with you on that one too because I think you know, I have to stand back and stay out of a lot of things. Like even when it comes to my daughter with her kids and, you know, my grandkids and what goes on at the school and friends and people and socially, culturally. And I'm just shaking my head and I said, these people need to be smacked upside the head. And that's, again, and I'm not meaning literally, but there's no consequence. So where is going to be this consequence? And it's going to come. It will be, but it'll come in layers.
Yeah.
So, and at different variables, whether it's financial. Look, all it takes is somebody to zap out a satellite, you know, some meteor strikes a satellite and all your technology is down for, a week. And we'll see what happens then. And it's entirely possible. People don't think that is. But because that'll never happen to them. People are mad if their internet goes out, you know, you have a power outage for 4 hours.
You should see me. You know? I'm turning into a total baby. My internet goes out. I'm like, what do I do now? Like going to the outside. What are those? What's that sound? Oh, is it birds chirping? Yeah, you know?
I know. But it's true. And so, again, we're so dependent on you know, so many things that if they're taken away, that's not going to be a nice picture. So Dr. Mike says, wait for more banks to fall. You know, back in 08, I actually felt it was happening. And in my mind's eye, I predicted that it was going to be a recession, but one like we'd never seen before.
Yeah,
it would come from the top down. And I got very nervous right up until 08, and then it happened and went, okay. And I said, this isn't the big one. The big one is yet to come. And it's just a matter of time.
Well, that's always going to be true, though. There will always be a big one around the horizon because then we're going to have the big one. And then it might take 1,000 years, which I doubt, afterwards. But there will
I'm
be another
about financially,
big one.
Financially and in our culture. And I think that, honestly, we're on the precipice of that. That's my prediction. I'm not being meaning to be a fearmonger by any chance. I think it's a good thing for a correction.
That's true.
I think.
So my cat falling off the shelf and knocking into a box was the, you know, physical manifestation of that correction.
They call that instant karma for opposing me, Michael. I couldn't resist. Sorry. this is what I think that, and now that. And again, remember I said last week, it depends what news things you watch. In Canada, the big news in all Canadian news is, that bank in, you know, California, what does that mean? And yet if I look at the U.S. news, and it's saying, nothing to worry about here, folks. Keep moving along.
Well, true. But, I mean, it is big news. And I can tell you I've dealt with a lot of people that were concerned about it. So it is very prescient in American culture, but also, I just got to throw a little out there. I mean, this is a bank that did not have sturdy footing. They invested in the, you know, risky kind of crypto type tech, you know, tech boom kind of stuff. And And also, you know, they scared some people by selling off a bunch of bonds, and people wanted their money out, and bam, they went under because they never had a sturdy foundation. But that being said, yes, there is always, is it going to happen? Yes, it will. When? I don't know. But the other thing that we have to focus on is what can we control? How are we going to navigate it? Me, I'm going to try to get some more engineering skills so I can build my Mad Max post-apocalyptic car. Got to work on that. So, you know, we all have to.
I think that just as a little heads up, people, keep a little bit of cash in your house. That's all.
Well, heck, if the economy falls, the cash is, you know, going to be. But anyway, nonetheless. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, if you need cash, you need something to barter with, that's the best way to do it. So, and even if your internet went out for 24 hours, you know. Matter of fact, when I was at the art center, I bought a couple of supplies, mm-hmm. and their system was down. I didn't have cash on me. And so said, you know, I went to use my, you know, Interact, and she said, oh, it doesn't work. Do you have a...
I see what you mean, because, well, like, in the hurricane, you know, needed cash and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, exactly. You know, going through the hurricane in Ian...
Yeah.
I was without power for 10, 11 days, was without internet for over a little, you know, over 2 weeks. I mean, heck, I could have been on an episode of Survivor. I mean, geez. But,
so you understand where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
It's, if you have a little bit of cash on hand, no matter what, whether it's something, you know, I think the people in California know that right now with all the snow and the rain and the flooding and stuff. So, I mean, it can be for any number of reasons that... Just a good thing if you can. I know that a lot of people can't afford it. But even if you have $100 at home, put it in a box. That's your emergency money. And just have something on hand. So, you know, no matter what, folks, just don't lose who you are.
Absolutely.
Stay true to who you are. Be a good human being. Michael and I talked about what we're going to talk about next week. And this is as good a time as any, Michael, for us to say. You know, what determines right and wrong? Mm. And we're going to talk about that next week.
Loaded. I mean, my theory is that it's whatever I say, but apparently some other people think that it's not accurate, so we'll find out. But, yeah, no, it's actually, I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to getting into this idea I've kind of had of objective morality. You know, is everything relative, or is there an objective right and wrong that we can kind of point to? So looking to get into that discussion next week. And this has been a good one. You know, it's a tough one to navigate. You know, it's a tough world out there, and we just have to, again, use the skills that you have as metaphysical, you know, humanists, as metaphysicians, apply that heightened awareness. Go ahead.
Well, and on the point of heightened awareness, it's time to draw some cards.
It is. It is.
We have Deb up first. So for those listening in the archives, if you're new to the program, Michael draws Dr. Kelly's inner from one of Dr. Kelly's inner oracle self-discovery cards. And I draw a tarot card as a support kind of, you know, support card that says, there might be a story here. So...
All right, yeah, and really, really kind of is interesting how often they can just really make you think and connect. So, Deb, happy to have you, and your first card is number 8 in the self-completeness suit, balance and order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Okay, so in support of that, Deb, the Emperor. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that in our discussion tonight, and Wendy said you had this card, balance and order, back in February 1st.
Interesting.
So balance and order with the Emperor, I always see the Emperor as authority, kind of an authority figure, or the basic, you know, thing about authority is kind of reviewing your view of how you regard others as authoritarian in a way. It, you know, it's one thing to respect people because of the work they do and perhaps the position they hold, but they're still just people. So maybe that's a message to you, Deb, and something that you might be thinking about or dealing with is how do you see people in authority and, you know, getting some balance in your thinking so that we know that no matter how important people think they are, they're just people.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I hope that makes kind of sense. I think we have Dr. Mike up next.
We do. Dr. Mike, for you, I have number 36 in the service to self and others suit, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
So I got the five of clubs in support of that, Dr. Mike, and essentially I see the five of clubs in a way of, you know, the fight's over, yay, you know, time for a change and getting on with things. But when I see this gratitude with the five of clubs, I think I can kind of in my back mind, you saying, phew, I'm so glad that's over. It's like, that's behind you. It's in the rearview mirror now. Wendy says you had gratitude back in January. So, you know, there's another repeat there. And it's not that you don't live without gratitude. It's just that we're saying here you're really grateful that that portion or that chapter or that event is over and done with and you can get on with other things. So it's a good time to take a breather. You know, kind of, whew.
Good advice. All right, we have Jamil next. Jamil, I have number 23 in the spirituality suit, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, now this is interesting. It's another five, but it's a five of diamonds. Now, in and of itself, I see the five of diamonds as somebody tagging in behind you, trying to hold you back, or it is that you're kind of moving forward, hoping somebody doesn't leave or wanting what they have. Now, meaning and purpose in this case, Jamil, the first thing that I thought of, what came to my mind is it's like somebody tugging at you and wanting to understand what you have, and you're finding meaning and purpose in your life, but it's not necessarily, you know, it's like that preference versus principle, mm-hmm. You know, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves, you know, and don't have people do for you what you ought to do for yourself. You know, the Dr. Kelly adages that I think play into this. And so I think what this is saying, Jamil, is just check in with yourself that people aren't sucking your energy in this way and distracting you from you moving forward. That's what I get from that.
Good message. All right. We have Caleb next. And I have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
Well, I got the six of clubs in support of that, Kayla, which is kind of a, it can seem like a contradiction in a way, you know, blocks versus this celebratory kind of event, you know, being happy and social and, you know, everybody greeting you at the doorway. But what does come to mind as far as the story and tying those two messages together is don't be misled by false opportunities. It's, you might think that's an opportunity and wow, that looks really great. But sometimes the opportunity is to say no, you know, and know that you're, go by your feel in this case. So, but what you feel, they might feel like there's blocks. You know what I'm saying? It's being that fork in the road of which way do I go? It's follow your gut. So don't take something that looks so shiny and happy, because it may not be once you get in the door. Follow what you believe is right for you. So if you're making a decision, that's my response.
Good one. Good one. All right. So I just had my list here, but I just looked away. Ah, Dr. Edward, of course. Ooh, another wild card. Wild card number 7, hope. Let's see. Wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Edward, there might be somebody you're worried about, someone that you have concern for. Here is the Ten of Spades. And hope with the Ten of Spades, you know, there's disappointment, worry, you know, and so on, that you got to keep hope no matter how, you know, dark things feel for a moment. We still have to have hope, and at least the very hope that it goes well for them. You know, sometimes we have to separate ourselves a little bit to know that everybody's on their own journey and not to be attached to it, even no matter how much we care, what we wish for them. It's, you know, it's sometimes to stay as, oh boy, that word objective, I don't think that really applies, but that's a word that comes to me, is to step back for a moment and live in that place of hope, no matter how worried you are. So, boy, I sure hope that makes sense.
And hope it connects. And, you know, Wendy had pointed out that Dr. Edward has had this card on January 11th and then on March 1st, not terribly long ago. So it got a repeat. But so I thought that was really interesting.
Remain hopeful, Edward.
Good advice. All right, Tabitha, have you next. And it's a wild card kind of night. We just pulled 3 wild cards in a row, I think. This is wild card number 2, and then some. Good card. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Well, you got a major arcana in this one, so justice. The and then some, and justice simply is fairness and equitability, Tabitha. So it means that if you have to give a little extra to make sure things stay in balance, that's what's required. Sometimes we feel like we can be putting out more energy than what we're getting back, but it's temporary. So just know that everything that you're doing at the moment is temporary, but the rewards are great to maintain some kind of order and balance. So justice is fairness, equitability. You might not feel like it's fair at the moment, but you will see the results and how things play out, and you'll know what to do with the outcome as you get to it. That's
good.
What I say there. Yeah.
All right, we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next. And just thank you again for everything that you do. I've seen a lot of patterns tonight. Tabitha had that card on February 1st. And I'm curious about this one. I don't recall. You got number 3 in the self-acceptance suit. Be who you are and walk your own path. You are unique. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. Good card.
Well, it is a good reminder, Wendy. I pulled the 8 of spades, which 8 of spades by itself, you can feel constrained, basically. You can feel confined, helpless, unable to contribute, unable to fix something, correct it. And maybe that has to do with others and how you influence or affect others. So I thought, well, what is that trying to say? So I picked another card for you in support of that. The 7 of clubs. And that's about just being wary, self-protective, you know, just cautious as you go. Oh, Wendy just said she found out yesterday that she's being transferred to another location for work. So be you and who you are. So you might feel like, okay, whether you wanted this transfer or not, you know, it kind of feel a little bit helpless at the moment or feeling kind of blind. You have to go by your own radar, your own intuition. And it's just saying, feel it out. I always say when you're in a new environment, always be very observant. You know, be observant of the people, how it runs, and so on before you, you know, kind of throw your part in there. Know what your part is going to be. Mm-hmm. But be yourself, Wendy. So it's don't hold back in who you are, but hold back what you might like to do, you know.
Yeah.
And kind of feel your way through that. So it kind of makes sense to me if that's how you interpret it, Wendy, because that certainly makes sense to me.
Well, and it just also reminds me, you know, I saw the ellipsis there on that, so I know it's kind of a trepidatious perhaps, but, you know, sometimes things can lead to unexpected wonders. So it's hard to say, but, you know, this has been really an interesting series of cards, a lot of repeats, and love this discussion. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to next week, you know, we've kind of come to that time again, but I think the question of right and wrong is just such a complicated one and a fundamental one. And, you know, Zach had joked in chat earlier, you know, oh, there's already a book that has done that. And, you know, I think there are several books that have done that, you know, over the last several thousand years. But we all know there is only one true arbiter, only one person that knows true right and wrong. And that is our Lord and Savior, Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise. Obviously, he is our moral foundation, and we look to him. But
you know, I was telling Michael earlier that I signed on to Paramount to watch Picard, and then I found out I could only get season 1. And then, now I have to go by Crave in order to watch season 2, and I'm going, wow. So now I'm kind of waiting for my kids to catch up so that we can go together by Crave. And it's like, and then I'll dump the Paramount. But I love Picard. I'm a Picard freak. I love that guy. He's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of inside scoop. You know, I used to watch Star Trek The Next Generation with my dad growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of my earliest memories, sit with my dad watching it. And I remember how, you know, all the quotes, all the good, I, you know, took in a lot from that show and especially that character. And I think Patrick Stewart did a wonderful job, kind of lent some of himself. But I will say this as my final homage to Star Trek. There is a quote that I love from the character Jean-Luc Picard speaking to the other character, Data, on the show. And Data was frustrated because he failed at a task. And I honestly can't remember what that task was. But he was trying to determine if there was an error in his programming. He's an artificial being because he didn't succeed. And Picard says to him, you can do everything right and still fail. That is not a mistake. That is just life. And, you know, stay with me a long time. So looking forward to this discussion, you know, coming kind of to the close of tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, as always. And, you know, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts before we wrap it up?
In keeping with tonight's program, just stay cool, know who you are, and don't engage with the nonsense out there.
Absolutely. Well said.
Don't let them push you around either, but the best thing to do is walk away. That's how you best retain who you are.
True enough. And, you know, I think before I go into the outro here, I think I'm going to just say this one thing in honor of my Grandma Kelly, who would always say this. Don't let the turkeys get you down when you can soar with the eagles.
That's a good one.
So with that, I will say looking forward to seeing you all next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.